Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Latch Mama podcast. It's been a while. My name is Melissa Wirt. I am the founder and leader of this operation we call Latch Mama, which is a online clothing store which pays the bills. And then it's also a community that we have successfully built to over 500,000 mamas everywhere and anywhere. And we do this podcast to bring connection to motherhood, which is something that we focus on as much as we possibly can, because motherhood is hella lonely. So we took a little break and we are back.
You're listening to Latch Mama Podcast. I'm your host, Melissa Wirt, busy mom of six and owner of LatchMama.com. Join us each week as we talk about pregnancy, breastfeeding, postpartum, and all things motherhood.
We, being me and my bestie slash designer slash marketing guru slash everything she has been, my front porch ice cream eater, that made it into the book, by the way.
It's so good. Now I want some ice cream.
I know. But yeah, this is Lindy. Lindy, introduce yourself.
Hello, I am Lindy. Do you want some little details? Okay.
I want some details.
Give me six more. Kids. Been in Richmond, Virginia for a long time. I've been working at Latch Mama for like 7-ish years. Mm-hmm. What else? Design work, production work,
marketing work,
whatever we need, we make it work.
Yeah, we do a lot of things. We'll do anything and everything, and we have over the years to keep this little machine running.
Working on it.
Yeah. For those of you who used to listen to the podcast before we took a 3-month hiatus that we just learned, we had no idea how long we had been gone for because
felt like nine.
The fog of motherhood is real. You know, we took a little break because we wanted to make sure that the content that we were putting out was more intentional than it was becoming. It's never going to be incredibly intentional and organized and structured just because our lives are not organized or structured. Some stuff is intentional, but we wanted to really take a step back, figure out what we wanted this to be, add a little bit of structure to it so you guys had kind of the same expectations going into listening to each episode. And we just kind of needed to breathe a bit, concentrate on things around here. You know, the economy shifted. We had a super hard year in 2023, and the business and the people in it, as well as our families, I think needed a little bit more attention than we could give them and keep this podcast running.
Yeah. But we still wanted to feel like we're hanging out virtually with you.
Yeah.
Conversation.
So it's like this really fine line between
Hearing about that.
Yeah.
Having
guests on it. And our banter and us sharing stories about our messy, chaotic lives and still adding something of substance and importance to the world and the world of content. So, you know, it's a weird line to walk. And I think it's going to take us probably a little while to find it. But we wanted to find it with you guys. So we wanted to come back. We wanted to get the ball rolling again. We've missed you all terribly. And we wanted to kind of start this up again. Yeah. What have you been up to? Tell me some stuff in the last 3 months. So it's basically Q4, if you look at it business wise, into this year. Winter just sucks. Yeah. Sorry, not to interrupt you, but it just sucks.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It has. And one, I kind of made maybe not a promise, but like a commitment to myself. Like, because when I hit the cold months, I just want to like sit under a blanket with like hot tea, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, you're going to like keep moving your body. Mm-hmm. Even if you can make it like 2 to 3 days a week, like we're not going to put these like, oh, you don't have the amount of time or whatnot to go and move your body and whatnot and keep yourself healthy. So, kept that up.
Good.
Although this really dark mornings have thrown me back a little bit with this time change. But I'm going to enjoy the evenings.
Yeah.
What else?
So
my range is now like almost 8 to almost 16 in June. And I'm like feeling a little bit like not panicky, but like the other day, Linus is like, "Mom, you need to help me finish this Brightpoint application." And I'm like, What
Brightpoint
application? And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, you're dual enrollment classes." And then I'm literally thinking to myself, I'm like, "How many more summers do I have with you?" Like, I'm kind of like, you know, years ago when they were all little, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, give me a break. Like, you'll be fine. I'll see you later." And like, they're getting really old.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know. I just want to like hold him and squeeze him and whatnot. But also love seeing the progress and the independence and majority of the conversations. Some are not very nice, but
yeah.
You know, as they're getting older and whatnot, I love watching them do their activities. They're each allowed one because we just can't keep up. So Lennox, he will play volleyball 24 hours a day if he could. He's still loving that. And like he had a good practice last night. I came home and the coach handed out little notes to them.
Oh, that's so
like,
cute.
Some positive things, some constructive criticism, but like he just thrived with that. Because it's just
so cool.
It puts words to what she's feeling. So he came home, just had a good practice, good feeling, and he has a tournament this weekend. So I'm that's like, amazing. That's awesome.
Can we just really quickly talk about like handwritten notes from coaches? You've heard my soccer story with Nathan. So my kids are not like excelling athletes. Nobody plays travel soccer. Nobody really goes all in on anything for a few different reasons. One of which is bandwidth. Second of which is that I am determined to make sure that their worth is not tied up in like athletic achievement or anything like that. But anyways, and third of all, they just probably have half of me and half of Eric. And it's not that Eric's not athletic, but I don't know. He's going to get mad if he listens to this. But anyways, Nathan had this coach that was like a total bro and I didn't like him and he didn't play Nathan and it was rec soccer. And this was like 4 years ago. And he didn't play him and Nathan got no playing time. And this guy just wore a baseball cap and I could never see his face. And I was just like, oh, and he kind of would kind of get mad at the ref sometimes. And I was like, oh, I'm like, sometimes I struggle with the fact that Eric doesn't like sports. But then sometimes I see guys like that and I'm like, oh, I just am so glad I'm not going home and like having to watch football all weekend with you or something like that. I just was struggling with him not nurturing my son. And then the season ended and Nathan came home from their like season end party, which I dropped him off to because I didn't really want to be there because I didn't see him playing for this coach again. And he came home with the most amazing handwritten note that I definitely teared up on when I read and he had seen my child, even though I was completely, completely convinced that he had not seen my kid. He didn't play him. Like, it was fine. This guy was just in it to yell at the refs. But he had seen my kid and he had seen that he was like, he just nailed him like on like, I don't know. Anyways, this is what we're not supposed to do on this new version of the podcast, but it's going to happen. So anyways, he wrote a handwritten note and it was really cool. And it was like one of my like top five adult lessons that I had totally judged this dude, totally judged him and shut him out. And, he's still multiple seasons later. Nathan's coach and Nathan goes to youth group there. He's fantastic. He just wrote his second book. He's awesome.
I love
it. It's cool. Yeah.
You never really know, you know, who somebody is. Now, granted, this was not a handwritten. It was typed out and cut and printed. She's a VCU professor.
Okay. So that,
but you read it and the thought like she knew my kid.
Yes.
And that was just so nice to read.
Yes.
That,
it's like a Miss Marie thing. Miss Marie knows our kids. Miss Marie's our, my speech pathologist. And then Gabe does a social group with her.
And then there's like a Miss Marie thing. We love her so much. But my sweet boy has been having these conversations with me and he's like, Mom, I feel like it's repetitive. I feel like I'm growing out of it.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do because I love Miss Marie so much and I love Henry and Henry still wants to be there. And oh my gosh, we had the hardest conversation yesterday. So I have to tell you about that. That was like something totally different. But anyway, so yeah, enjoying watching the kids do their thing.
It's crazy. Guys, it's lots all, of I feel like here. It's the same so, things. Yeah. I mean, here has been a complete restructure, new styles, new systems, new marketing team. Like, it's just been a complete kind of rebuild of the structure and the funnel. Thankfully, there are a lot of places in the company that have remained the same that have been able to help us through trying to re-engineer some stuff. But yeah, so if you guys are in Latch Mama for the clothes and such, look for new stuff coming soon, which is great.
Yeah, I'm excited
So.
And you?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, moving my body.
Some
I started
farm
swimming.
Update, like,
yeah,
all,
I have.
Yeah.
We have some. I started swimming in October. Go 5 days a week. Little master swim program. It feels good most days. Mondays and Fridays are distance days, and I do not like them. But I found like a little
throw them on like the worst day. Why is it Monday and Fridays?
I don't know. But I found like a little village there, and nobody really knows who I am, and it's great. And there's like no talk about anything of like really true significance. And swimming is one of those things that like I have learned. I can't think about anything like really deep or intense when I'm swimming because then I like start to drown. And you can't drown or you die. And you also like can't check your phone. Like I remember when I used to go to Bern, like I would go over to get water and I would check my phone to see if I was like, anything was like blowing up in life. Swimming, my phone is all the way across on the bleachers.
It's your time.
And I have to just keep swimming. Yeah. And then when I think, I can't think of anything sad, like I said, or intense when I swim because it all gets to be too much because my body hurts and then my heart hurts and it's like this whole big thing. So I have to think about like happy stuff and then the endorphins start and it's like a full body workout. It's just, it's amazing. I found my thing and I love it.
I'm so excited.
And it's really cool. So I guess my like note to you all is that like we all need endorphins. We all need to move our bodies, but find the thing that brings you joy and happiness. Like Lindy, it's really cute. Like we used to go to Bern together every day before COVID and it was really nice and it's what I needed then. And I think if like we found a time that worked now, we probably would go again together, but like she's found her thing and like I have my thing and I mean, and I would love her to be swimming with me, but we can't.
I think we have like different schedules too. Mm-hmm. Like my kiddo swims super early. And so my only option is 5 a.m. every now and then. I'll pick up a 4:30 class, but I don't like to because I'm trying to get it done so I can see my kids and
it's
do
all
that.
Just
but
so hard to find the time and the
it's
place.
It just constantly changes. We need to pick up a couple walks. It doesn't need to be a lot, but the weather's getting nicer.
But I can tell you that one of probably the only reasons why we have the energy and the focus and the creative power to bring this podcast back to you is because we are doing the things like moving our body, which we don't always want to do. Yeah. But that's just my kind of like motherhood tip of the day is that find your thing as the weather changes, even if it's walking or pickleball or swimming or Bern is great because it's very community driven as well.
It's
never expected
too.
To find community on a master's swim program in a dark indoor pool on, you know.
But what I love about both of what we do is you roll up there, you throw your suit on, your goggles, cap, whatever, and and somebody just tells you what to do.
Oh my God, that's the best.
That is
part.
All I need. I will show up. Yeah. I will show up for you. Just put me through whatever. Chaos you're gonna put me through and then get me out the door.
It's amazing. You know? There's no mental energy in any of it, which is really good. So the way the format of this new podcast is gonna work,
we've already wrecked it,
we've already completely destroyed it. This is what happens when you have 12 kids and you don't really ever get to see each other, but then you talk.
Okay,
on
maybe
a podcast.
Hold on, maybe Ashley will like us. Do we need just like a keyword?
Yeah.
But if we get crazy off track, someone just has to throw out the safe word, the keyword.
And then we regroup. We get back to our I don't know even know what she calls it. So anyways, okay. So here we are. So we are going to have some guests. So this is only can go so sideways because there will be guests and I can't make guest interviews really go sideways. But we have one next week. Amazing, super, super excited. I just need to get the actual title of her book because I don't want to get it wrong and I don't want to misrepresent it because I'm so excited. But we have Lauren Smith Brody in, who is an author. She's a journalist. She's a founder. She's a very large advocate for gender equality, which is great, especially in the workplace, which is something that I think we all need when it comes to leave and pumping and all of the things that that we need in terms of motherhood in the workplace. But she wrote a book called The Fifth Trimester, The Working Guide to Mom Style, Sanity, and Big Success After Pregnancy. She will be on in the coming weeks in an episode, but today you guys just have Lindy and I and our banter, and we're going to talk about some things that we have found out and about in the media that we think are worthwhile to talk about.
Or no, you're going to have to like label this as like educating Lindy half the time on reality and news. It's okay. I will own it and I will do my best to prep every time.
So I'm adding this in today because I just want to talk about it and any free moment that I have. And I sometimes feel like when we podcast, it is a free moment because I am not in the thralls of motherhood or business running right now. But we have got to talk about where Kate is. Okay. For those of you who do not know, I'm referring to Kate Middleton, the future Queen of England, I guess she will be.
I think
so. And I want to be very careful here because I think as moms, I think that we are placed on this standard where we can't get sick. We can't get hurt. We have to still perform. We have to still show up. Mm-hmm. We have to show up for our families. We have to do certain things. But I am completely enthralled by this story. I mean, this goes past like Love is Blind. This goes past like all of the things that consume me, like in the sense that I could literally read about this. It's fascinating to me. It's absolutely fascinating. And I don't know why. Maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe I just want to know things that aren't mine to know. I don't know.
That's okay. I went through all of your all of your notes or what you wanted me to watch and whatnot. And I think I just struggle with like I never really know like what's what's true and what's not. And so there's like so much speculation on this or that. Like the whole ice in Antarctica. Like
I almost
got lost there. I was waiting for a picture of some little head to pop up behind the igloo or something. Like it was just very unbelievable. But I think there's a lot of people who like genuinely care. Like so they've fallen in love with
the royals.
The royals.
So like the
and
crown
Kate too, yeah. Because she's really down to earth from what I've seen and been presented in the news.
Well, all the lunches you
all
had
of
with
the,
her.
Well, just very, no, very from what I've read and seen, and I mean just somewhat very of what I would say like a normal person.
It's just really like
so people do care.
I don't know. I think that it's such a lesson in what we think we deserve to know about people, first of all, which is nothing. Like social media makes it so that we think that we are entitled, that when somebody puts themselves in the public space, that we're entitled to know things about them, which makes it really hairy because then people can start rumors and do all of the things and not really know anything. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, just go do a deep dive. Basically, she took some time off from her job, which is charity work and being a princess, to have an abdominal procedure apparently done in like December? Right after like January, and she's supposed to be out of the public eye until Easter, so it all makes sense. She shouldn't be in the public eye, but historically speaking it doesn't really jive with things that have happened in the past with royal family members, and then there's all sorts of like photoshopped things that are coming out and all of these conspiracy theories. And it's really sad because we just need to leave her and it, the whole thing alone. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think it's very indicative of some of the pressures that we put on mothers. Cause some of the conspiracy, like some of the theories that are floating around are anything from like an eating disorder to something like pretty significant, like a bowel resection or something like that, that can be like extremely hard to go through and things like that. So it's almost like this matched thing between we can't back off. We can't seem to back off and just let her have the privacy she needs to heal. But at the same time, of course, if that's what she chooses to do, that's what she should get. And she should be able to have the break. But at the same time, if she is having a procedure that many women do have to have after carrying children, there is this selfish part of me that wishes that she would use her platform or something to speak about it and to normalize it and say, you know, even princesses have a colostomy bag or even, you know what I'm saying? Like there is this part of me that wishes if that is the case, that it wasn't so hidden, you know, that I'm not asking her to put on the stilettos and go walk and kiss babies and go to funerals and all of these events. But I do think it would be awesome if she is suffering, recovering, doing whatever from something that so many women actually do have to go through. It would be cool if we could normalize it a bit, but I mean it's not my call.
Yeah, and somewhere where they're like all we just need is, you know, little video, like make sure she's okay. But then I think it goes back to what you said earlier, like nobody's entitled to any
to
piece
anything.
Of her any yeah. picture of her face, like
absolutely.
She doesn't have to do any of that. She doesn't have to give anybody any of that.
And I mean
so
dig into culture of the fact that, like, you know, the British people or anybody who's paying taxes somewhere, I don't even know how it all works, is paying her salary essentially, so should she be showing up? I mean there's so many different theories of what's happening and we're going to put this out into the world and it's probably going to be something terrible and I'm going to feel terrible even talking about it. But I do think that there is this standard placed on people, especially in higher profile situations, that we feel like we're entitled to know information about them. And I think we have to be really careful about it. Because I think people who do have a bigger platform do have more control and more power. And you always hope that they use it for good. But any time that anybody opens their mouth to a bunch of people and a platform definitely as large as hers, you know, you are taken with scrutiny and it takes a certain level of vulnerability. And I think that that's the piece that's missing here is that if she's not feeling 100% and she does not want to be on the camera, she doesn't want a picture taken of her or whatever, she shouldn't have to be. So
I don't know. I just really hope she's
I hope she's okay and she's loving on her babies and all of that is going well. But the other thing, so the Oscars were this weekend. Did you watch them?
No.
Did you go to bed?
I didn't.
Where were you?
I don't know what night it was on. Was it Sunday?
It's always on Sunday nights. All those shows.
Oh my gosh.
Are on
I came
Sunday
back
nights.
From like Christiansburg and was like done.
Yeah.
So I didn't even
So
had no idea.
I think sometimes we talk
Went
about
to bed.
How Yeah, you were away all
I
weekend
was, yeah.
at an indoor swimming pool. I think sometimes we talk about how motherhood is portrayed on social media and we always talk about how fake it is and how hard it is sometimes to see like the plasticness of it all. What I think that I hadn't really realized until this study came out this weekend in kind of around the Oscars is how we're consuming what motherhood is supposed to look like anytime we consume any media, including TV and movies. And I feel a little ignorant that I hadn't really ever been critical of what I've seen there. I mean, when was the last time you've watched something and said that mother isn't a typical representation of motherhood? Like it's putting motherhood at a higher standard.
Oh goodness, I don't know. I don't know if I've ever watched something and thought that.
Yeah, no, I haven't either.
I
I've just
ever.
Taken it for what
okay.
it is.
Like, I was like, motherhood. This is like a yeah. trick question.
So
yeah,
this study came out and it's really interesting. So some of the highlights of it, and I think that this just goes into this larger depiction of what motherhood is supposed to look like. And it's just another way that we are weighted down by what we're supposed to, which mm-hmm. I've learned in therapy is not the right thing.
Oh.
You're never supposed to do anything.
Okay.
Anyways, or should. Is it the shoulds? Should, supposed to, same
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Okay.
Okay. 57% of moms on the screens of this study were white, 24 were black, and only 9% were Latinx.
Wow.
It's crazy, huh? Only 6% of moms were in something other than a heterosexual relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Zero TV moms were disabled in any way. And only 10% of TV moms with kids under 18 were older than 50. How old are you going to be when the girls are?
Well, they're almost 8.
Oh, I'm
going to
be
40.
So well into my 50s.
I think I'll be 50 when they're 18. Turning 51.
Okay, so you fit. You
turning
fit what
51.
Think. So I'm just old.
You're not that much older.
Well, I'm 42 and I have a 2-year-old. So I'm going to be like 60.
Okay.
No, I'm going to be. Yes, no, I'm going to be like 60.
59,
when, I'm going to be so old. Oh, my God. I'm going to be so outside of this demographic of what these screens and these TV tells me I'm supposed to be. Oh, my gosh.
But how do we get there and why? Why?
How did I get there? I had too many kids.
I didn't mean that.
Oh, my gosh.
As a society,
I started too late and I had too many. I'm going to be moving them into college and they're going to think that I'm their grandma. It's okay.
Can they be like business write-offs with all the nursing and the content?
Oh, my gosh. Literally, guys, I'm in motherhood for so much longer. It's fine. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. It's so hard. Oh, my God. It's so hard every single day. To have a 2-year-old and then an almost 12-year-old and the swing of, like, the 2-year-old is just taking glasses out of, like,
oh
we'll just
gosh.
Take glasses out of the, like, cupboard and just throw them on the ground and they'll shatter. And then I have the 12-year-old who's just dealing with big, big 12-year-old things.
Mm-hmm.
He has a girlfriend. It's this whole big thing. you know, and then I have the 10-year-old who's like where the 12-year-old was 2 years ago. And he's like socially awkward and beautifully weird. Then I have Caroline, who I'm like, oh, God, I hope I get it right because you're so amazing. Like, it's just a whole big thing. But yes, I'm going to be apparently really old, according to these screen people. I'm going to watch. I'm going to go watch a bunch of movies in my spare time.
And see.
And I'm going to go find the old people with kids. I'm sure there's movies that are about old people with kids.
Yeah, there's got to be.
I'm going to go watch.
There has to be.
I'm going to go watch them.
Okay.
I don't know. I think that it just gives society really improper expectations of what mothers look like and how we're supposed to be.
Yeah. And this is the TV movies like that kind of. Mm-hmm. It's weird because then it like, I don't know, it's almost like modeling. Like, are you paying for the looks? Like, is it really a good representation? Like,
that's
it's
what a screenwriter
weird...
somewhere thinks is going to sell.
Exactly. Like, that's what I'm. Yes. Like. Yeah. But you don't connect with all of that sometimes. Not everybody does.
Also in pop culture this week, Lily Allen. Do you remember Lily Allen? You probably don't remember Lily Allen because Lily Allen thinks that having kids ruined her career.
Well, I remember the name, but honestly, I can't put a face.
Because then what happened was she had kids and now you don't know who she is, according to her on the podcast. Yeah. Her direct her direct quote was, my children ruined my career. I love them and they complete me. But in terms of pop stardom, they totally ruined me. Which makes me very sad. And I hope my little friend Taylor Swift does not read this because I would like some Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce babies sooner than later.
Can you imagine like the motherhood lyrics?
Oh, I can't even. Because even her like daughter lyrics with her relationship with her mother... I hadn't even thought about that.
That needs to happen. But yeah, it's,
I mean,
it's terrible.
She loved boys and the boys that were so mean to her as much as she loves her babies and her lyrics and her songwriting. I can't wait for Mama Taylor.
Or who knows what they'll be. You know, those postpartum emotions.
Oh,
I don't know what.
I hadn't even thought
really?
About motherhood.
That was like the first where, that's where I went first as far as lyrics and just her storytelling,
her
the middle of the night, like nursing or something. I don't know. Anyways,
well, because I Brandi Carlile's two motherhood songs are like just make me want to bawl and cry and love them both so much. I can't even imagine when Taylor sits down and tries to write. Oh, that is if she has kids. We're not wishing kids on her if she doesn't want to. But anyways, Lily Allen said that her kids ruined her career.
It's a really interesting topic. I mean, I don't like the whole ruined part, but...
So basically what she went on to say was, people say you can have it all, but frankly you can't. Which is completely true. It's totally true. Yeah. I was just thinking, I was talking to Eric this morning as I was putting on my makeup, and he always brings me a fried egg in the morning while I'm getting ready, which is really cute and adorable. But we were talking about how tomorrow I'm going to this like... presentation that a friend slash our attorney is doing, and then we're hanging out afterwards, and I just looked at him and I was like, but I don't want to miss Smallville because that's what we're watching as a family tonight. I was like, aww. And I don't want to drive in the dark, and I was like, and I don't really want to park in the city. And he just kind of looked at me and I was like, oh my God, I used to be cool, but I'm so not cool anymore. There's something something happened. I had kids. I can't have it all. I can't go out midweek in the city and go drink a bunch and then find my way home and parent and get up and swim. And
but it's interesting, and it kind of makes me frustrated at the can't have it all, because I feel like, you know, as a woman, mother, whatever, you want to have children, like you 100% should be able to do that along with whatever.
Ooh,
I know
it's so
hard though. Like, I understand sometimes we tell kids you can be and do anything. Well, sometimes there's restrictions on what you can be and what you can do. And, you know, it depends on what's going on in life and whatnot. But that's a really hard one to like accept.
And
you know, even if we should accept it, I don't know.
And I think sometimes we get into this like spiral that like we can't have it all because we don't have as much privilege, or if only we had help, or if only we had a nanny, or if only we had this, we could do more. And it's true that more help equals more ability to be elsewhere and do other things. But I think what this really, really boils down to is how much you change as a human being when you become a mother. Is that, like, with all the help in the world, like, I know I can go out tomorrow night and I'm going to have fun and we're going to go to dinner and it's going to be great. But where is my heart really going to be? Where do I really mm-hmm. want to be? I want to be in my sweats in my bed with my yeah. kids. And that's where I feel like I should be. So you really, I think where I struggle with having it all is that my heart is always in different places. Like, it's here and I want to be working here and I want to make this succeed. But I'm also partly at home all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, I think you're always going to have that pull once you have a human being that you're responsible yeah. for, you know?
And I think like, what is having it all mean mm-hmm. to you, yep. you know, to you? And I think prior to kids, you know, not everybody would do it, but I think you're able to, if you find a passion, I mean, you can channel mm-hmm. every
yep.
single bit of you into that. And I think this leads to, like, maybe even a little bit different of a conversation about just really driven mm-hmm. people.
Yeah.
And just how, kind of with those blinders on, what you can accomplish at such a high level. And if yeah. that's what having it all means to you, then I do agree it's very hard to do all the things and have it all, because you can't, you know, you're only but so much, mm-hmm. you can only give but so much. And if you choose to give it all in one direction, well, that's mm-hmm. all you have.
Yeah.
And when you start adding these other pieces that need bits of you mm-hmm. and they take parts of you, mm-hmm. You have to be okay with maybe mm-hmm. really looking at what that I have it all, you know, maybe means to you.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been interesting to see if she could have looked at maybe her career in a different way, you know, like, or maybe yeah. like, instead of the career that she had, you know, could she have pivoted in a direction that allowed her to be a more present mother and pop star? I mean, I have no idea. I mean, to be a pop star, do you have to, I would assume you have to be on tour, and where are your kids and all of that stuff.
But then I just think of, like, Pink and how she
I was
talks
just
about
ready to
kids.
Say
like,
that was the same
there's
thing.
A lot of yeah. you know, musicians or actresses that, that you know, they happen. Are mothers, or I'm like, oh my gosh, they have an 18-year-old, like, I had no idea. And
but it would be interesting. So, I wonder how old Lily Allen's kids are, because Pink stepped back a bit when her daughter
yeah,
was younger.
That's right.
I mean, Brandi Carlile is just now peaking. I use her as an example again. I mean, is peaking in the sense of definitely out there more than she was when her daughters were younger.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think that maybe we start to find ourselves more as our kids get older and they become a little bit easier. It would be mm-hmm. interesting to look and see how old Kennedy, how old are
like
Lily
maybe,
Allen's
maybe
kids?
She's in the throes of really young ones.
Yeah. I don't know. I would think that, or maybe once you start to raise kids and you do step away from something like a career, like any career, and suddenly you have that hole in your resume. I mean, as pop star, I mean, you could probably account that to any other career. Like, how do you get back up? If yeah. you stepped away for a while,
I'm not
going
to pretend
to
know anything about those kind of industries, but sometimes you've got to ride the wave. And if you don't, yeah. you know, you miss out.
12 and 10. Okay. So, I mean, maybe she's just finding her way back. If she was on a podcast, it sounds like maybe she's getting her feet back under her and finding her way back through it. Mm-hmm. But I could understand, like, that's kind of where I am in terms of Nathan and Alex at this point. Like, if they were the only two that I had. Mm-hmm. You know, I would definitely be trying to restart and get things moving and stuff again. Yeah. But instead, I have them for years and years to come. And I will be an old lady when they go to college, apparently. All right. So the next segment we are going to do, we're done with our pop star.
You.
I know. Look
you
at this.
Moving along.
This is called organization.
Wow.
And I don't have much of it in my life. But we're going to take a question from Latch Mama Love. For those of you who do not know what Latch Mama Love is, it is our Facebook group. So if you are not in it, go join it. I like to think that it is one of the most supportive places on the internet for moms. We do a very thorough job most of the time at vetting questions and making sure that people play nice with one another. Every once in a while we get ourselves in a harder situation. But we have, because the clothing that we sell here actually funds all of this. We have paid moderators, which helps a little bit, I think. And we have, ways to kind of vet things that go out there. So it is, I'd like to think, a pretty safe motherhood place. Nothing on the internet is always 100% emotionally safe, but it's there. So go join it. But today's question that we pulled off of there was about postpartum hair loss. And I looked at Lindy earlier and I said, hey, Lindy, did you lose hair postpartum? And she's like, absolutely. I don't ever really, I mean, I know I lost hair, but I don't ever remember it. I think probably because I have so much.
Well, I was just about to say, I think you have like the hair of like three people. So it's beautiful. Hair. But yeah, you probably could lose a big chunk and you wouldn't notice.
Yeah. I mean, I remember like having to clean my brush. Oh, I have a bald spot. It's right here. In case anybody on the YouTubes wants
and I mean, I would see it in the shower and the hairbrush, but when I would really see it was when like
they started to grow back.
I had this little like poofy thing right here and it's starting to grow back and I'm like, oh my gosh. So yeah
you did. I don't know what
we got all kinds of tips. There were some really great suggestions, so if you're struggling with that, check out the group and that post. But I don't know, I didn't do anything about it. I just accepted it. So
I always ride stuff out though like that because I feel like it was normal and I wasn't really worried about it. But there is one note that if it happens and it happens for a while and you're also feeling tired or your skin's dry or all of those things, go get your thyroid checked, because that is something that a lot of us struggle with, especially after we have a baby. A lot of times it pops up then, an underactive thyroid.
And I think with anything medical, like neither one of us are any sort of professionals, but with any medical question, we'll direct you to your care provider, but we can just offer you our personal experiences with most of these motherhood things.
Yeah. And I think prenatals after you have your baby are always a really good thing as well to keep.
I would bet our kind of nutrient levels and all that is way off after. So
all the time. I mean,
or all the time
in general,
but
they're probably
immediate
off.
Postpartum.
Vitamin D. So if you're not getting outside, make sure you're taking it and all of that jazz. Sleeping with your hair in braids or with a silk pillowcase. Do you have a silk pillowcase?
I can't do silk. Why I can't not? Do slippery in the
what?
Yes, my favorite right now or in the
hold
winter
on.
Are
is
the
just,
soft flannel
hold
like
on.
Sheets.
Just for the sheets or like in general in life?
Just the sheets. Like I can't, I don't know
hold
what
on,
it
so
is.
Do you have to be cold or hot when you sleep?
I have a flannel, so I just put, it's a lightweight like flannel set on, so it's got a sheet.
Okay.
I just got a new really lightweight like alternative down comforter, because we had one since we were married, and I could not give it up because I tried different ones and I could not find one I liked, so I finally got a new one, and then there's like a quilt on top.
Okay.
I need weight. I keep the fan on.
Okay.
Sometimes I stick a leg out and put it back in. But like I can't just do a very lightweight like
blanket. No, I have to be cold. Like I have to be cold warm. So I have to
Well, you sleep better in the cold.
Yeah, I have to be cold and then I have to be snuggly.
Yes, I have to be super snuggly. But there's something with the slippery, it's cold. It's not warm to me.
Yeah, but the silk pillowcase is supposed to be very, very good for your hair.
Okay. All right. Well,
I don't know.
Maybe I need to try it.
On the Latch Trauma blog, we have a whole post on this. So go find it. Go to the blog on latchtrauma.com and go
That's another great resource.
There's lots of stuff. There's 10 years worth of content on the Latch Mama blog.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It started before the store did. Do you know that? It's crazy.
That's so cool.
Nuts. Anything else? What do you have going on this week? I don't have anything.
I don't know, but I'm... This weather is putting
me stuck inside.
A much better mood than like
it's
the rainy.
It's crazy
last
how
week.
Much the weather can change your moods. Oh, I have a pregnant cow right now, guys. That's like my life. I jumped the gun way hard.
I ask her every day, and I think
if
she
anybody
gets annoyed
was following
at
me on Instagram, I think I started posting about my pregnant cow probably a month ago, waiting for it to have the baby. Like, oh, my cow's gonna have a baby soon. Yeah, no, I think we could potentially still be 2 to 3 weeks out. Which makes me very sad because I'm ready for the, like, she.
Did you say the vet came?
There's probably so many people who do not care at all about cows. But cows that have never had a baby before are called heifers. They're not called cows. And you never really know how well a cow can calve or a heifer can calve until they actually have their first baby. So she's never had a baby before, but it's taken her a really, really long time to get pregnant. So she was with a bull for like 3 years, and she finally, like anybody who had cows for any other reason than just to be a silly little pet in the backyard, would have eaten her probably before at this point. So she's a miniature cow. She's adorable. She's like a little cat. She follows me around. She's great. But then she also has like the most bizarre udder I have ever seen in my life. She has like extra nipples. Like she, like if there was like an ugly cow contest, like there are like ugly cat or dog contests, like she would probably win it. So I'm a little concerned by the fact that it took her so long to get pregnant and that her udder is not the way it should look. That, I don't know. I'll just be very, very happy when the calf is on the ground and standing up and nursing. So I'm watching her on multiple cameras that I have on my phone. I'm also putting her in a stable every night so I can watch her, because if she goes in the dark, I can't see her. So that is what I will be doing for the next 2 weeks. Hopefully when we have another podcast with a guest who I'm sure is not going to care about my cow,
we'll
I will be
to,
able
like,
to update
table
you
the
all.
Cow a little bit.
Yeah, I'm it's top of mind almost everybody in my life when they see me ask me how my cow is, because I started talking about her way before she had her baby. So I'll keep you guys posted. Hopefully it's a good ending. But yeah, take care, guys. We are so thrilled to be back. Hopefully you guys enjoyed hearing our nonsense for some time. We will be back next episode with a guest. We'll talk about some more serious stuff and probably some less serious stuff too. But thank you, as always, for listening. Bye, guys.
Bye.